top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, April 11, 2024. I am Richie Ferrall in the headlines. Dominica Business Forum Inc. President Daryl Bob explains that the DBF Inc. was created to enhance representation and advocacy for the best interests of the Dominican business community. On Monday, 15th January, more than 20 teachers attended the first of three training sessions on the new Anguilla Education Management Information System, that's the Anguilla EMIS, to ensure tech-ready resilience. This project is still ongoing.
The hour news.
And Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, who lives in Qatar, told Al Jazeera News three of his sons and several of his grandchildren were killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The news brought to you compliments Q95 FM. First up in the news, President of the Dominica Business Forum, Inc. provided insights into the organization, emphasizing its role as a platform to bolster representation and advocacy for the Dominican business community and related issues. He noted that since January 2019, following civil society protests for electoral reform, which led to confrontations with the police deploying tear gas as a defense measure, the organization has been actively involved in advocating for reforms of the existing electoral legislation.
Dominica Business Forum, Inc. was established in December 2012 through a memorandum of understanding signed by 10 private sector organizations for the following purpose: to establish a platform to strengthen the representation and articulation of the interests of Dominica business community and matters connected thereto, establish guidelines for collaboration between the parties in pursuing their respective mandates as the consolidated mechanism, institution, think tank, and voice of the private sector on matters of micro and macro importance to business and civil society, and to exist alongside the representative member associations. The Dominica Business Forum, Inc. is registered as a non-profit business organization under the Companies Act of the Commonwealth of Dominica. Since January 2019, in the aftermath of protest actions by civil society organizations for electoral reform, which resulted in confrontation with the police and the use of tear gas against protesters, the Dominica Business Forum, Inc. has been engaged in numerous activities towards securing the necessary changes to the existing electoral legislation in the Commonwealth of Dominica. Some of those initiatives include the formation of the Electoral Reform Group, which consisted of the private sector, trade unions, church, and other civil society organizations, which prepared a comprehensive report with recommendations on electoral reform actions that were necessary prior to the 2019 elections.
Mr. Bob highlighted that the Business Forum collaborated with representatives from the OAS, CARICOM, and the Commonwealth Secretariat to seek a peaceful resolution in advocating for electoral reform. He emphasized that enhancing electoral legislation is a collective responsibility for all citizens of Dominica.
Subsequently, the DBF Inc. engaged representatives of the OAS, CARICOM, and Commonwealth Secretariat in pursuing an amicable result in the pursuance of electoral reform. Recognizing that improvements to the electoral legislation is the responsibility of every Dominican citizen and that it should be influenced to the advantage of any political parties in office or in opposition. When the Prime Minister of Dominica engaged Sir Dennis Byron to undertake the review of Dominica's electoral reform laws, the DBF Inc., though expressing concerns about the authority of the Prime Minister to initiate such a process instead of the duly instituted Electoral Commission, recognized the authority of the state and immediately engaged Sir Byron in numerous private consultations, and in the only public consultations held with him during Sir Byron's consultancy, and most recently after his report and draft legislation was submitted to the Prime Minister and to the opposition parties. The DBF Inc. extended invitations to all political parties, parliamentarians, the Attorney General, the members of the Electoral Commission, civil society organizations, and the public to participate in these consultations. Unfortunately, none of the state initiatives, or institutions rather, participated in these consultations. But this did not deter the DBF Inc. from engaging the public and those institutions who were interested in reviewing the draft legislation submitted by Sir Dennis Byron and arrived at some level of consensus on amendments to the draft legislation submitted.
Daryl Bob, president of the Dominica Business Forum. The Eastern Caribbean Green Entrepreneurship Initiative announced the selection of 27 green entrepreneurs, including three Dominicans, Shelly Ann Mead, Terry Henry, and Lana Athanas, as recipients of interest-free loans totaling US$863,403. And under this initiative accelerator program, these entrepreneurs were chosen from a competitive pool of applicants to receive funding and support to grow their respective green sustainable enterprises. The initiative, delivered by the Global Green Growth Institute in partnership with the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, with support from the Qatar Fund for Development, aimed to nurture and empower environmentally conscious businesses, fostering sustainable development across the Caribbean region. This regional program was dedicated to facilitate the development, establishment, and expansion of innovative green enterprises across six OECS member states. Those states are Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia and St. Vincent, and the Grenadines. The accelerator program is designed to propel high potential green enterprises during their growth phase by providing access to interest-free loans of up to US$50,000, along with investment opportunities and ongoing education. The program equips entrepreneurs to scale their businesses for maximum profitability and societal benefit. The Electoral Reform Coalition, according to its public relations officer, Mr. Washburn Coffey, has decided to step up its efforts to guarantee that Dominica gets the appropriate electoral reform legislation that it deserves, which will ensure free and fair elections on a level playing field for current and future generations. They have also requested meetings with the Prime Minister, the Electoral Commission, and the President of Dominica in that regard.
The Electoral Reform Coalition has decided to intensify its efforts to ensure that the Commonwealth of Dominica receives the type of electoral legislation it deserves to guarantee free and fair elections for the present and future generation. The Electoral Reform Coalition has requested consultative meetings with the Prime Minister, the Electoral Commission, and the President of the Commonwealth of Dominica to discuss the way forward for the electoral reform process. The Prime Minister responded by requesting a change of date from the proposed February 15th date, but is yet to confirm a new date. The Electoral Commission has not responded, and the President has scheduled the meeting with the ERC for April 22nd, 2024.
Mr. Coffey said the ERC is asking all facets of Dominican society to prioritize the electoral reform process and insist on addressing the perplexing problems that the nation's democracy is facing.
The Electoral Reform Coalition appeals to all sectors of the Dominican society to give special attention to the electoral reform process and demand that the vexing issues that have plagued Dominica's democracy are addressed and resolved in the proposed electoral legislation. Any attempt by the Prime Minister to proceed to Parliament with flawed electoral legislation is unacceptable and must be vehemently resisted, despite the threats he has issued against the populace. The Electoral Reform Coalition calls on Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit to, one, immediately make public the composition of the so-called team of experts who are preparing the revised electoral legislation, and broaden its composition to reflect the views of all sides of the political spectrum. We are essentially requesting for a more democratic process in that regard. Allow representatives of the opposition and civil society to be part of the review committee.
Public Relations Officer of the ERC, Mr. Washburn Coffey. Dominica Water and Sewage Company, Dowasco Limited, is currently embarking on a $6 million project which will benefit the residents of the Kalinago Territory and Atkinson. Dowasco General Manager Bernard Etinoff told Q95 News on April 10th, this project, which saw the installation of new pipelines under the ongoing East Coast Road project, is nearing completion.
So as we speak, we are in the process now of completing the pipeline replacement on the East Coast Road that is throughout the Kalinago Territory there, where the government has embarked on a major road rehabilitation program. Mm. As a result of that, we've had to change all the main pipelines through the territory because they would not fall in the middle of the newly constructed road since it would have been widened.
Yeah.
So we have undertaken this at a cost of $6 million. And I can see it's nearing completion. We would expect by the end of May it would be fully completed. And all customers in the Kalinago Territory and Atkinson would now be transferred to that new line, which we expect to bring some added benefits in terms of more reliable water supply because of the new pipelines, less leaks or no leaks on the system, and so forth. And that in itself will aid in building customer satisfaction with the system there.
Mm-hmm. General Manager at Dowasco, Mr. Bernard Etinoff, you're tuned in with Q95 News. According to the World Bank, Latin America and the Caribbean has reached a critical juncture. While the region has made significant progress in economic stabilization over recent decades, growth has stalled, undermining progress. Urgent action is needed to reverse course. In a new report, Competition, the Missing Ingredient for Growth, the World Bank highlights potential areas for action, emphasizing that leveraging competition policies and institutions is key to any impactful growth strategy. The World Bank forecasts that regional GDP will expand by 1.6% in 2024. GDP growth of 2.7 and 2.6 are expected for 2025 and 2026, respectively. These rates are the lowest compared to all other regions in the world and insufficient to drive prosperity. With social transfers declining and wages not yet rebounding to pre-pandemic figures, many households are under pressure. Persistent low growth is not just an economic statistic. It's a barrier for development, the report says. It translates into reduced public services, fewer job opportunities, depressed salaries, higher poverty and inequality. When economies stagnate, its people's potential is constrained. The statement cautions that we must act decisively to help Latin America and the Caribbean region break away from this cycle, said Carlos Felipe Jaramillo, World Bank Vice President for Latin America and the Caribbean. Factors driving these growth numbers include low levels of investment and domestic consumption, elevated interest rates and high fiscal deficits as well, declining commodity prices and uncertainty in the prospects of important partners such as the United States, China, Europe, and other G7 countries. In most of the region, inflationary expectations remain anchored and central bank targets are expected to be achieved in 2024. To capitalize on this progress and reignite economies, LAC, that is Latin America and the Caribbean, must address long-standing challenges. Reforms in infrastructure, education, and trade are critical to enhance its productivity and global integration. Microcircuit engineer and political leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, is not convinced that the new draft electoral laws to be made public by the government's legal team in April 2024 will ensure a stable path for appropriate electoral reforms in Dominica. Ito made that comment while presenting his views on Q95's Global View on Q show hosted by Sheridan Gregoire, Mr. G, on Tuesday night. On April 5, 2024, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit promised the media and the nation that in April 2024, his legal team will make some select electoral recommendations available to the public for consideration and review. Mr. Skerrit claimed that the reason for pursuing this approach is to fast-track the updated electoral policies, which do not require amendments to the Constitution. Mr. Ito claims the track record of the Skerrit administration as regards electoral reform has been left wanting over the past 15 years.
From a high-level, philosophical position, as it were, in terms of what do we do with this situation that has developed in Dominica over electoral reform generally and bad governance more broadly, I have expressed this, and I've expressed this before, and so it's no new idea here or revelations. But I really think the answer to electoral reform is, and there's only one answer in my mind, is to replace this government. I think anything short of that will not, in my opinion, achieve the sort of electoral reform that we expect to happen. I think, I'm at the position, and I think more and more people are getting to that position where we know this government will not deliver anything of value in terms of good governance to this island. I am really getting exasperated beyond the point of asking this government to do anything. I mean, this government will not deliver good governance because their incentives are aligned to benefit from bad governance. And so there's a misalignment of incentives between what we wish, to decent people in Dominica, to see our country develop, to see good democracy thrive, and an alignment with what they wish, which is to see a dysfunctional system within whose soil they can thrive and exploit. So I'm not sure that we can rely. In fact, I'm stronger than not sure. I am convinced that we cannot rely on this government to deliver any sort of electoral reform that makes sense.
And that was microcircuit engineer and political leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito. Architect, member of the Dominica Electoral Coalition, and former Dominica Business Forum president, Severa McKenzie, cautions Dominicans to get serious about strongly advocating for the implementation of appropriate reformed electoral laws and regulations in Dominica. In his presentation on Tuesday night's Global View on Q show, McKenzie stressed that electoral laws of any country are what determines the very existence of its people.
Well, I believe that we are at a stage right now where Dominicans can either get the electoral reform legislation that they want and deserve, or it can pass them by, and the modus operandi, the status quo continues. I think we have come a very long way to where we are today, to the point where the powers that be are talking about going to parliament with the legislation. But my concern personally is that as citizens of a country, how can a government go to parliament with legislation governing the electoral laws of the country without consultation or the population saying it? And this is where I think we in the Electoral Reform Coalition are, because it is very, I think the length of time that the struggle has taken to get us to this point, a lot of people have given up, and a number of people are very pessimistic that Dominica will ever have electoral reform, which is a very sad situation, basically, really, because I think that people should realize that the electoral laws of the any country is what determines their very existence.
Once again, just last week, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit said that in April 2024, his team will make the new select electoral amendments public so as to fast-track those updated laws that do not require amendments to the Constitution and implement the first wave of electoral reforms. McKenzie noted the control of the DLP government majority in Parliament, 19-3 to be exact, and said, once the draft legislation reaches Parliament, it most likely would become law because of the DLP's majority.
You know, it is the electoral laws that allow governments to be in place and in power. and politicians to rule. And if you do not have the mechanisms in place for free and fair elections, where people can elect their governments without intimidation in a fair, free and fair environment, then we are definitely heading the wrong way. I have had my own share of political victimization, economic victimization, and a number of different things. So I know what it is when you have a government on your back that stifles your right to exist. And it is for this reason I believe that Dominicans have to decide whether they want a free and fair electoral revised electoral legislation going to parliament, or if they will allow the prime minister, who has the authority over everything in the state. He has authority over the police, he has authority over the electoral commission, he has authority over the president. He has authority over the churches, with the exception of a few of the civils of the public service. So the Prime Minister and the Dominican Labour Party have authority over everything that is happening in this country. And the only leeway that the people of Dominica have right now is to influence the legislation that is being prepared in reviewing the electoral laws of Dominica. And it is for this reason that all those who have advocated for free and fair elections in Dominica, all those who have advocated for electoral reform since the 2005 elections, when the first diplomatic passport was issued for $500,000, I was told, our electoral process has been going down the drain. And it means that we are close to 20 years in that struggle. So now is the time. And the only humble demand that we are making at this time point in time is to tell the Prime Minister that he has all the authority already. So please free up the electoral reform process. Let us know who is that committee of experts that he has reviewing it. Let us see the draft that they are preparing. Get persons from the opposition and civil society involved in the process of preparing the final draft to make sure that some of the vexing issues are addressed in the legislation, and then everybody can be satisfied.
Architect, Electoral Reform Coalition member, and former president of the DBF, Severin McKenzie. This week, more than 20 teachers attended the first of three training sessions on the new Anguilla Education Management Information System, that's the Anguilla EMIS project. The training was held on Monday at the Aurelia Kelly Primary School, OKPS. The next two sessions will occur on the final Mondays in April. The Anguilla EMIS training was conducted by the team from the Education Planning Unit in the Ministry of Social Development and Education, which is headed by Mrs. Dawn Reed. The lead trainer was Ms. Malona L. Hughes, the Anguilla EMIS System Administrator. She was assisted by Ms. Shauna Richardson, graduate certificated teacher, who heads the Mathematics Department at the ALHCS, and TVEC coordinator, Mr. Feliciano James. Both Mr. James and Ms. Richardson would have also participated in the Train the Trainers sessions. The rollout for the Anguilla EMIS project continued this week, with teacher training focused on the personnel module in the EMIS. The next session for teachers at the school will target the institutional module. Together, these comprise the main dimensions of the Anguilla EMIS that teachers will need to utilize for administrative purposes. In other news, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh says three of his sons have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. Haniyeh, who lives in Qatar, tells Al Jazeera that several of his grandchildren were also killed in that attack. It follows reports in a Hamas-affiliated news agency in Gaza that Hazem Amir and Mohammed Ismail Haniyeh died in a strike in a beach refugee camp.
Well, Ismail Haniyeh seems to have confirmed the killing of his sons and some family members. There were reports that some of his grandchildren have also been killed in this Israeli airstrike. The Israeli military, the Israeli defense forces have not yet commented on it. But it does seem as though it is accurate, because Haniyeh himself, who lives in exile in Doha, has confirmed it and spoken about it to the Al Jazeera channel, which is also based in Doha. It happened, we believe, in the Shati refugee camp, which is northern Gaza, in Gaza City, which is also where Haniyeh is originally from. I think the timing is possibly no coincidence. There are a lot of rumours around at the moment, particularly over recent hours, that Hamas is inclined to reject the latest ceasefire proposal on the table. And the reason being is that Hamas feels that it's in a pretty strong position at the moment, for a number of reasons. One, because Israel has withdrawn all of its forces from southern Gaza and really left a very small force inside Gaza. And secondly, because there is now a much larger amount of humanitarian aid getting to Gaza. Not enough, but much, much larger. And so the rumours are is that, all that considered, Hamas does not want to go ahead with a ceasefire at the moment unless all of its demands are met. It feels that it's got a strong hand. And so the thinking behind this strike on Ismail Haniyeh's sons and other family members is it could be designed to try and reassert military pressure on Hamas to agree to that ceasefire. But Haniyeh, commenting on that, has said that if that was the tactic, it was, in his words, delusional.
That's the morning news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Dominica Business Forum Inc. President Daryl Boggs explains that the DBF Inc. was created to enhance representation and advocacy
regional and
for the best interests of the Dominica business community.
The Big Station.
On Monday, 15th January, more than 20 teachers attended the first of three training sessions on the new Anguilla Education Management Information System to ensure tech-ready resilience. This project is still ongoing.
Q, top of the hour.
And Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, who lives in Qatar, told Al Jazeera
regional and
three of his sons and several of his grandchildren were killed in an Israeli airstrike attack in Gaza. The news brought to you with the kind compliments of Q95 FM.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q.